Okay, so we're recording. 1, 2, 3. Welcome to the return. If you're online, shame you missed it. But here you go. Welcome to the return. Over to you, Vicky.
I'm going to attach it to me because I didn't attach it to me when I was being recorded on this before. Here we are. Okay. Okay, hello everybody. I just want to start by saying, just off the back of us praying about that Sunday buying a house, that it's really important for us to remember that things don't generally just happen. There'll be someone somewhere praying and pushing into stuff. You know, the journey starting, it didn't just happen. It took many years of pushing and really trying to get the ground ready for us to actually start it, because we are in a spiritual battle, and it's really important for us to remember that. The fact that we're even in this house tonight has been a spiritual battle, and I'm really grateful to everybody who's prayed, which you all have, I know, over these last few months, but it is a massive miracle that we need to be thankful to God that we're still here, because, you know, it didn't look like it a few months ago. And, you know, there have been loads and loads of people see the house, and loads of them have bought it. And so we're still trusting God that, you know, there's a possibility of someone possibly buying it for the journey, which we're looking into, and we'll let you know if anything happens with that. So let's still keep praying, because God, I still really believe that God said that we need to fight for this house, so we need to keep on praying and not give up. And that's something that we've been, we've been talking about as a team, and something that I really feel is that, you know, God wants us to be a church that are really praying and pushing into things, because they're not going to just happen. We need to pray. And that's one of the things we've called these things, the responsibility, because it's about each of us as individuals taking responsibility for pushing into more of God so that we can see his kingdom come at Royal Holloway and Ingford Green and wherever else God takes us. Okay? So let's go for it. There's some things I want to say before I start what I'm going to speak on. The first thing I want to say is on Gemma. Does everyone know Gemma? I think everyone here has met her. So we're really pleased that Gemma has moved here. Gemma originally comes from Open Heaven Church, which is the church that Phil and Tracy came from. And she's also going to be living in this house from October. And she is going to be doing lots of things as well, like helping Tracy to lead the community cell and organising all the food. So I hope that everyone's really nice to Gemma and helps her. So, Gemma, did you want to say anything? Okay, that's fine. So, yeah. And I really want to encourage, because obviously there's a lot of people who aren't actually here this evening, to all of us facilitate Gemma being introduced to them and all that stuff. Would be really good. So that would be good. And the next thing I want to say is about Ruth. Ruth is going to be part of the team, which we're very excited about. The people who are already on the church planting team, we've been praying about, we felt like God was saying that Ruth should be on the team, because it was the best place for her to be. We've got what God was doing with her, and for her to serve the community. So, do you want to say anything, Ruth? Ruth's going to be speaking tomorrow, which I'm really excited about. And it'll be good. Tomorrow we're going to give attention to Ross. You know, he doesn't know that. And we'll find out what's happening with Ross and his traumatic time, recent times, but good. Working out okay. Yeah, so we'll give Ross some time tomorrow. Alright, okay. So, there are two things that I'm going to do this evening. The first is I'm going to explain some of the things that are going to be happening this year. And I just would like everyone to tell everybody else who's not here as well, if that's okay. And then the second thing we do is speak on the Bible, which is a good thing. So I'll get to what I'm going to speak on in a minute, but I'll just start off with a few things I just want to run through about what's happening this year. So the first thing, just to remind us all of, is that, which I think everyone here is quite aware of, but obviously the journey is part of River Church. River Church is a church as a whole, which has a congregation in Maidenhead and Marlow, and the journey is part of that. So I think you're aware of this, but just to reiterate it, obviously, as a team, we're accountable to the main leadership team who lead the whole of River, which Chris heads all of that up. So we receive regular input from them. So we're not just doing our own little thing, we're accountable to all of them. And then it's been really good with like Catherine and Charlie going to the C2 and me and Diana and Dave going to China. It's an opportunity to get to know people and then the rivers together and having lunch together. So just hope that more and more over this next year, people on the journey will really feel part of River Church as a whole and be able to make use of the opportunities which are going to be there. Now, oh yes. Yeah, this is the monthly magazine, which doesn't at the moment have on the back the journey, which it usually does, but probably will do next month, as in the meeting. But yeah, so that's good. And Phil's got an article there this time. Yeah. So, now I just want to tell you what we've decided about the gatherings over this year, because it's really exciting. Basically, obviously, we know that we're going to grow because there's going to be freshers and there's been more people join us over the summer. And we want to make space for that. Now, I'm sure that you'll agree, having like house gatherings has worked really well with eating together and people being able to invite their friends and informal atmosphere, all that kind of thing. So we want to kind of keep that, but also we want to make opportunity for everyone to meet together. Because as we grow, you know, we still want to have a sense of togetherness. So what we're going to be going for now, and we'll see how it works, is we're going to do a thing of every other week during term time. So 1 week, there'll be house gatherings, and there'll be two house gatherings. There'll be one here, and one at Phil and Tracy's house, but they will run at different times. So one will run here at 1 till 3, like normal, like it did last year, and then there'll be one at Phil and Tracy's house from 5 till 7, and they'll be... Obviously, they'll be different in the sense that God usually does different things in different places, but they'll also be similar in terms of program, the same teaching topics and that kind of thing will happen. And so in order to help that happen, we're going to need everybody to really get stuck in, not to go to both of them, but to get stuck in each gathering with things like helping with the cooking and the worship and whatever else, and just generally getting stuck in to welcoming people and chatting and all this kind of stuff. So that's going to happen there, so it's going to be very similar to what we already do. And then in the other week we're going to have a corporate gathering, it's a lovely little name for it, which ultimately we hope that they will be on campus, although that probably it's not looking like it's going to happen for this term, so it'll probably be the Methodist Church and that'll be when everyone will come together. So that will have a different feel to the house gatherings, because they'll be bigger, the teaching will be more just kind of like now I'm just speaking at you, whereas in the house gatherings we often have it quite interactive, and the worship will be having instruments maybe, things like that. So it'll be different, but both will serve different purposes, which we'll all get to grips with that as we go along. So that's with the gatherings. Then we're going to have sales as usual. Over the next few weeks, Ruth and Dave Hollow are going to be training the cell leaders and getting everyone up to scratch, so that'll be good. So yeah, that'll work itself out, cells. And Tracy and Gemma are going to lead the community cell, which is the cell for non-students. Okay, and just a few other little things, just want to say, just to clarify things. The student cells are fusion cells, and again, I think that possibly everyone knows this, but I just want to clarify again. Basically, fusion resources local churches to do student work, and we all know that Phil Quick's vision. And so we will be like praying for Phil on some point maybe over the weekend in his work that he's doing in the south of the country, which he'll tell us about that, I'm sure, when we pray for him, what he's up to. But so Fusion Resources and the south, and not just our south, but also the south with all the other churches on campus. And I don't know what everyone's aware of, probably are to some extent, but basically there's a number of churches that work together at Royal Holloway, and they form this thing called the Church Leaders Network. And basically, they meet once or twice a term to just discuss things and pray together and have a kind of continuity of what's going on. And then Regenerate represents all the churches and all the cells together. And obviously, that is student-led. So the journey is part of that, and working with all the churches. And then Regenerate, and I'm sure you all know, is part of Christians Together, which is the society that's affiliated to the student union and represents all the different Christian groups. So just to kind of clarify to everyone, that's kind of how we're all working together. So, you know, I'm really grateful to God for where we're at Royal Holloway with churches working together, because for me, because I've been around for, this year will be 7 years, on the 27th of September from when I first came to Royal Holloway. Well, there we are. So because I've been around for all those years, you know, I've seen it go from, basically, when I first arrived, the Christian Union was just not unified at all. It was just awful. Everyone was squabbling with each other over doctrines and whether or not they believed in the Holy Spirit and all this kind of thing. So we've gone from there, where God started to move, to now, where we've got churches working together, we've got the chaplaincy working, got different Christian groups working together, and I'm just like amazed at what God has done. But it's taken a lot of hard work to get there. So I just want to encourage us that we want to be people who are helping it to grow and not hindering it. So, you know, keep on praying into it, and that God will really protect the unity at Royal Holloway, because the devil will try to destroy it, because if he destroys it, then that's, you know, if all Christians are just squabbling with each other and they're not doing anything to get people saved, and that is what the devil wants. So let's just really pray that it goes from strength to strength. And the next thing I want to say as well, I think everyone knows again, but this year I left my care job, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, and I'm doing this thing called Radical Network, which is a theology course for church leaders and church planters, which is absolutely brilliant, and I love it. So I'm doing that. And it's, you know, where we went for the junction in London, that's where it's held. There. So that's really good. And that's what I'm doing at the moment, just so you all know. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, if you try to phone me, my phone will probably be off, because I'll be in London all day. But, that's that. Okay, so before I stop speaking on what I feel like God wants to talk to us about tonight, I just want to say that I really feel this year, more so than any, since my second year of university when I saw God move really powerfully, I really feel like my great expectation that God really wants to move this year at the university, and you know, he really wants to save people and heal people and do really awesome things. So I just want to encourage us just to really go for it, because I think that, you know, we're going to see some amazing things, but we have a choice to make as individuals and as a community as to whether or not we engage with what it is that the Lord wants to do at Royal Holloway. So just encourage us to engage and not just stand back and watch it, but to really get into it. Okay, so now, has everyone got their Bibles? Just as an aside, before I start launching into specifically what I'm talking about today, I just want us to look at something about how to read the Bible, which is something that we all do know, but it's good to be reminded of. If we look at John 14, I think it's really important for us to remember, especially when we're by ourselves, and we're trying to make sense of the Bible, that we can't, the Bible is not like a normal textbook. You can't read it in the way that you read any other book. The Bible is inspired by God to instruct us on who God is and how we're to live and things like that. And so we need the Holy Spirit to be making the words of the Bible alive to us. And I just want to remind us of that. So that especially when we're by ourselves reading the Bible, and when we're reading it when someone else is speaking, just be asking the Holy Spirit just to reveal to us what it is that God is trying to say to us through this, because what we think it might be saying may not actually be what it is. We need the Holy Spirit to bring it alive to us. And so just what should I do? John 14 verse 26. This is when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And just another little one, John 16, verse 13. It says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So here we are, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide us into all truth. So it's just a little thing just to remind us when we're preaching the Bible to do that. Okay, let's look at Joshua 1, verse 1-9. And then Luke, could you read 10 to the end of the chapter? Yeah. Oh, no, we'll be here all night. No. Okay, so Catherine, if you want to start us off. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 9.
After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all of the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Then Joshua gave orders to the officers of the people, "Go to the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan River and take the land the Lord your God is giving you." Then Joshua said to the people of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh, "Remember what Moses, servant of the Lord, told you. He said, the Lord your God would give you rest and would give you this land. Now the Lord has given you this land east of the Jordan River. Your wives, children, and animals may stay here, but your fighting men must dress for war and cross the Jordan River ahead of your brothers to help them. The Lord has given you a place to rest, and will do the same for your brothers. But you must help them take the land the Lord your God is giving them. Then you may return to your own land east of the Jordan River, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you." Then the people answered Joshua, "Whatever you commanded us to do, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, we will obey you. We ask only that the Lord your God be with you, just as he was with Moses. Whoever refuses to obey your commands or turns against you will be put to death. Just be strong and brave.
Thank you. So let's just remind ourselves of what's happened before. Basically, the Israelites, the children of God, God's chosen people, they were in slavery for 400 years by the Egyptians, and God raised up Moses to deliver them, to lead them into their deliverance. And God had promised them this land, but the Israelites didn't have faith. They didn't believe God, and they were disobedient to him, and various things happened, which caused them to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then God decided that Moses wasn't going to go into the promised land because of a mistake that he'd made and things like that. And Joshua was going to be the one who was going to lead these people into the promised land. Now, before Moses died, we won't look at it, but in Deuteronomy 30, I think it is, no, 31, basically that's when God commissions Joshua. And before Moses has died, and Moses says all this stuff about how he's going to lead him. So Joshua already knew before Moses died that God had told him that he was going to lead the people, and he was going to put them into the promised land and everything. Now, can you just imagine it? Try and think about the situation that Joshua is in. The person who's been his leader, who's been the person he's looked up to, been with him all this time, is dead. Now, he's obviously very, very upset, doesn't know what to do, he's probably just, you know, what it's, you can imagine what it's been like. And after a time, the Lord comes to him and says, look, Moses is dead. Seems like quite harsh, but you know, it's just like a reality check. Look, he's dead. You need to get on and do what I have called you to do. It's basically what God is saying. He's just reminding Joshua of what Joshua already knows that the Lord has called him to do. And I think just when we're first looking at this, it's really important to remember that sometimes in our lives, something really terrible happens and it knocks us and it kind of puts us back into a place where we aren't moving forward because we're trying to deal with the pain of that situation, or we're confused and kind of thing. And then the Lord sometimes just needs to come to us and say, look, this is the reality of the situation, but you need to get up and go for it and do what I've called you to do. And, you know, maybe there are people here who are in that situation. Something's happened and you've actually stopped moving forward, and God just says, come on. You know, yes, this has happened and it's terrible, but it's a time to get moving. Okay, now obviously Joshua was absolutely scared out of his wits, you know, about leading these people. And, you know, God just says so many wonderful things to him just to help him in that. So let's just have a little look at some of those things. So, if we look at verse 3, it says, every place a sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So, Joshua had this wonderful promise that the Lord had already gone ahead of him. God had already got this land, and so almost all that Joshua was doing was he was just basically leading the people to walk behind God into this land, and God was fighting for them, God was getting them the land, and they were just walking into it and taking what God had already got for them. So that's a really wonderful thing. And you know, the favour of the Lord was with Joshua. And that's a really important thing as well. And the other thing I just wanted to bring out of this. Sorry, I just lost the verse. Verse 5. It says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And that is an incredible promise that God was going to be with him. And, you know, we've got the same promise in our own lives, because before Jesus went to heaven, when he gave us the Great Commission, he told the disciples what their kind of mission was for their time on the earth, and he said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And it's a very important thing. So, There's a lot of things I want to put out. This isn't the main bit of what I want to talk about tonight, so I'm just quickly going through these things. Other good things to remember are, it says four times in this passage, be strong and of good courage. Okay? So God knew that Joshua was so scared, but he's saying, be strong, be of good courage, I am with you. You know, being strong is a choice often. You know, sometimes we just think about things that God asks us to do, and it makes us so scared, and we think, I can't possibly do that. But actually, it's a choice to be strong. You know, we mustn't just think to ourselves, oh, when I feel stronger, I'll be able to tell my friend about Jesus, or pray for that person to get healed, or whatever it may be. Actually, it's a choice first to be strong. It doesn't come later. That's not usually the way that God works. He calls us to step out, and he tells us to be strong, despite the fact that we're scared. And the other really important thing as well in this is where it's saying in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And the law, for those people at that time, that was their Bible. That was basically, it's the first five books of the Bible that we have, but that is all that they had. And so they commanded that they must follow that. And then further on it goes on about meditating on it day and night. And these are really important things that we need to remember in our lives, is that if we really want to follow God wholeheartedly, we've got to get to grips with what the Bible says, and we've got to live it and follow it. And we've got to meditate on it. Meditate on it regards us being active, thinking about it, getting into it, trying to find out what it actually means. And so those things are really, really important. And, you know, my own personal heart for everybody in the journey is that, you know, everybody is mature and standing on their own two feet because they really know for themselves who their God is. They know what the Bible says. They know what the Bible says about things, and thereby they're living their life 100% for God. And this is just as an aside. I think that in our generation there's a real danger of people falling away from God because they don't have proper foundations in their lives. And the reason that they don't have proper foundations in their lives is because they haven't really got to grips with what the Bible says. And so when difficulties come along, they just fall away because they're all wishy-washy kind of thing, and don't really understand how to deal with life. And the way that you learn how to deal with it is by really getting to grips with the Bible. I just really encourage us to really push into it. And it is a discipline, it is hard, but we need these foundations in our lives if we're going to stand against the ploys of the enemy, if we're going to just, you know, all that kind of thing. So yeah, so let's go for that. So I just want to encourage you then to really, this passage, there's lots of things there that the Lord spoke to Joshua that are really, we can get a lot out of it. So I just encourage you to really meditate on it. But the particular thing that I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to take you around the Bible, and so I hope you stay with me. Yeah, what I'm talking about. Okay. Verse 13. And this is when Joshua has gone to the people, reminding them of the things that God spoke to them through Moses about the land. And he says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. And this bit I want to bring out is, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Okay. Now, you're just going to have to keep on staying with me, and it will all become clear as we go along. Let's move now to Joshua 21. Verse 43. Oh, is it? Oh, I can't hear it. Okay, Shemar, can you read 21 verse 43 to 45? And Owen, can you read 22 verse 1 to 6?
So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled.
Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me in every way I command. For a long time now, to this day, you have not deserted your brothers, but have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you." Where am I
reading
to? Now that the Lord your God has given your brothers rest, as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But be careful to keep the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. 6 as well.
Yeah.
Then Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their homes.
Great, thank you. Okay, so basically we see that at the beginning God is telling Joshua, lead these people into this promised land and I will give them rest. And at the end we see that everything that God promised to Joshua and to the people of Israel has happened. They're in the land, they've possessed it, and God has brought them into rest. Okay. So the important thing to remember here is that and basically this is just an aside. I knew that God wanted me to talk about Joshua, but I didn't quite, and today God just gave me some fresh revelation on it. So this is my fresh revelation. But it also ties in with some other things God was talking about, and suddenly it all came together when I was praying about it this morning, so I'm going to be sharing this with you. Okay, so often in the Old Testament, things that happen in the Old Testament all pointing to Jesus. When Jesus came, he said, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it." So basically, we're talking about the law, because all Pharisees are thinking about all these rules and regulations. And sometimes, when we look in the New Testament, some of the things that Jesus was saying seem to contradict the law, and the Pharisees just can't get their head around it because they're so legalistic in their ways of seeing things. But actually, Jesus had come and everything was fulfilled within him. Which I won't explain too much, but hopefully you'll understand it as time goes on. So often things happen in the Old Testament which are almost like a prophetic sign of pointing to something that's going to be fulfilled in Jesus. Okay, so in this it's like we've got a prophetic statement of rest, in that God has promised the Israelites rest, and they're going into the promised land, and they possess the land, and they enter rest. And the rest that is talked about in this instance is that they haven't got any enemies. They've defeated them all, and the enemies are not bothering them, which is what God promised them at the beginning. And so we see here is what's happened. So, you got that? Yep. Good. Okay. Right, let's look at Hebrews now, in the New Testament. Chapter 3, verse 7. Now, Hebrews was written to people who were originally Jews, who'd become Christians, and they were a bit discouraged, and basically whoever the author was encouraging them to keep on going, because all what they believed as a Jew was fulfilled in Jesus, and that was the better way. So there was an encouragement. So it's a real good explanation of how everything that's happened in the Old Testament, how it was all pointing to Jesus and how it's fulfilled in him and all those kind of things. So it's really good for understanding the Old Testament in the light of Jesus. And it's got a quote which I'm going to read from Psalm, it's from Psalm 95, and it's really important to remember this bit, is that this psalm was written by David. David comes after Joshua, and David was speaking prophetically when he was saying this. So, can you read 3 verse 7 to 11? So that is like talking about the Egyptians who died while they were in the wilderness in those 40 years, who were disobedient to God and didn't believe him, and so therefore they didn't enter the Lord's rest. But let's move on to chapter 4. And this is explaining a concept, and it is the author's interpretation of why that particular passage appeared in Psalm 95 and what had happened. So, Amy, could you read 4:1-11?
Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest will stand, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declare an oath in my anger, it shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in, because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given a God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the peace of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following
their
example of disobedience.
Okay, thank you. So, this might be a bit confusing, but hopefully this will clarify. So verse 8 basically is saying to us that actually, when they went into the promised land, although they experienced rest from their enemies, it actually wasn't the rest that ultimately God wanted them to enter. Because it's saying that if Joshua had given them rest, then David, like they used in the previous passage, wouldn't have talked about still this thing of entering rest. And then it's saying that there is a rest for the people of God. So us now, that we can actually enter, and it's encouraging us to enter that rest. So we see that basically things have been happening back in Joshua prophetically, pointing to a rest that ultimately is going to be fulfilled in Jesus. So, I've taken that little journey through the Bible, which today, as I was praying, I think God took me on that little journey, to see about this whole idea of rest. So, it's like, what is this rest that God wants us to enter? And in some ways, when you think about it as well, God has been inviting us into this rest from the beginning of time. Because when he first created the world, the seventh day was Sabbath, and he rested from his work. Now, God doesn't actually need to rest, because he's God. But he was kind of doing that to show us this whole thing of rest, which might sound a bit confusing, but that is often the way that God works throughout the Bible, is he does things to point to something which is being fulfilled in Jesus. So, this is the bit where it should get a bit easier to understand. Let's get to Matthew, chapter 11, I think.
Verse
Now this little bit I won't take full credit for finding myself, because I actually was told this week, which was really great, because I had been wondering about what is this rest that God is calling us into. And these verses are quite helpful. So look at Matthew 11 verse 25-30. Ross, do you want
to read? Yep. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Thank you. Okay. Now the key verses that we want to look at here are verses 28-30. And this is describing to us what the rest is that the Lord is calling us into. And it starts off with, "Come to me." And that is ultimately what this rest is. It's about this relationship with Jesus, that through Jesus coming to earth and his work on the cross and then his resurrection, that has made us a way for us to enter his rest, have that relationship with Jesus that we were created for. And so it starts there, it starts with coming to Jesus, and he's saying, "All you who labour and are heavy laden." And it's really important for us to just think about the crowd of people that were probably listening to listen to what Jesus was saying. And if we look in the context of this, there's lots of Pharisees around. And the Pharisees were like the religious leaders, and they were always trying to catch Jesus out. And I don't know the exact number, but, you know, they were like, had created all these other rules for the people, the Jews, to keep. And so, if you think about it, right, so just think about yourself. You really love God, you really want to follow him wholeheartedly, and the people that, just imagine your church leaders, that's kind of the equivalent, the Jews, are suddenly telling you, right, if you want to follow God, then you've got to do this, and they're putting and laying all these rules and regulations on you, and you're just desperate to do the right thing for God, and it's so difficult because you just can't keep all these rules and regulations. And that was basically what was happening to these Jewish people, that the Pharisees were just putting all of these things on them, and obviously they couldn't follow them, you know. Just think about when you set yourselves all like the New Year resolutions, it's very difficult to follow them when you try to do it like that. It's just really hard. So you've got those people, then you think about other people who used to hang out with Jesus. You know, there were always lots of women around. When we think about, in that society, women were really, really downtrodden and treated very, very badly. So you've got those kind of women who are living under that kind of oppression. And all other kind of people that Jesus attracted were like often outcast by society, so people finding things really difficult. So you're thinking about all you who labour and heavy laden, just thinking about these things that were being put on these people, particularly these Jews that were being told you have to do this, that and the other in order to get close to God or whatever. These heavy things were being put on them that weren't what God had to say. And the other thing as well is that at this, when Jesus was coming, he was like showing the people at that point, obviously they only had the law, which the law had all these like different regulations and things that you had to keep. But all the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied about this day that was going to come when the law wasn't just going to be this written thing that people had to adhere to, which is about outside appearances. So it's like, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. Someone can do that and yet in their hearts could they have completely wrong attitude. But the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied this day when the law was going to be written in people's hearts. And, you know, the Holy Spirit was going to come and live inside of people and change them from the inside out. And this was going to be the greatest thing, because no longer did people have to try and keep this law, which they couldn't do in their own strength, but the Holy Spirit was going to live inside of people to enable them to do it, which is what we're in today. And so Jesus is beginning to just drop this revelation into people throughout his whole time when he was on the earth. So it's important to remember all of that. So all these people, they're under all this pressure and what have you, and the Lord is saying to them, come to me and I will give you rest. Okay, I want to just have a look at the Amplified Bible, because I looked up the word rest in the Strong's to find out what it was in the original Greek, and the Amplified Bible actually amplifies it and says it all. Let me just find it. It does. Okay. And it says, I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. That's a good thing, isn't it? And that is actually what it means. Okay. And then it says, in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And just to explain for those of you who don't know what a yoke is, it's basically, I don't think I'd explain it. Yeah. I can see it in my head. It's basically, the two things, like two animals.
You could,
similar kind of thing, yeah. Yeah. So basically, two animals. Yeah, we could, couldn't we? Actually, that was quite helpful. It's basically two animals. Yeah, okay, we could.
For the sake of the
world, I'm not really. So we're two animals. Okay, yeah. And we've got this thing, just like that, and we're kind of, we're yoked to each other.
For the benefit of drama,
and we're kind of like going along, aren't we, like this?
Like
we yoke to each other. And we've got this thing pulling.
The farmer's kind of hit in the middle of the day.
So we're like yoked, so we're like stuck together now. Oh, we put this? Yeah, over our backs, and it's kind of coming out the back.
Yeah?
I've
never understood before.
Not really what
a yoke is. What do you think it is then? Yeah, that's the actual bit, yeah, that's true. But it's rather, yeah. So basically, if you're unequally yoked, then that means that one person is going to pull more than the other. Does everyone understand? You can say no. Because Ruth can probably explain it better than I do.
Oh my goodness. What is it? Didn't they do on a full set?
Okay, right. Let's get back. Okay, so back to verse. So it says, so obviously a yoke isn't particularly a nice thing, really, in normal life. You know, it's not nice for the animals to have to pull this thing and they say you get strangled and all that. You know, all this kind of thing. And then in verse 30 it says, for my yoke is wholesome, and here it says, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant.
And you emphasize. Wow. That's a thesaurus.
Yep. Okay. So, Jesus has said, sorry, do you want to add something? Right, I'll give you the book. Okay, and so, so he's saying, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And then he's saying, my burden is light and easy to be borne. Okay, so basically, Jesus' way was not like the Pharisees, you've got to do this, that and the other if you're going to push into God, you've got to keep all these laws. Actually, Jesus had come to make a way by which the Holy Spirit was going to come and live inside of us and change us from the inside out so we can have this relationship with God, we can become more like Jesus and all these kind of things. So this is the kind of thing that Jesus is trying to get to. Okay. That's something. So are you with me? Do you know where we've come from and how we got here? Yeah? I know you're all tired. Sometimes we're 10:08. Okay. So we started out with Joshua having this promise of rest, which the people of Israel went into, and it was pointing to this rest that people were going to find in Jesus. And then David prophesied about it, and then Hebrews is talking about it as well. And then Jesus explaining to us what this rest is, this Sabbath rest. Okay, so I hope you kind of get to what I'm talking about. And what I just want us to do for maybe the next 10 minutes is maybe Ross, you could just drum some beautiful music for us. Something sweet and wonderful, reminding us of the rest of the Lord. Okay. 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 And what I'm going to do is I just want us to ask, I'm going to pray in a minute, but just want us to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just reveal to us this whole thing of rest. Because this is the place that we want to be as individuals and as a community. And, you know, I've tried to explain it probably not wonderfully, but the Holy Spirit can reveal it to us more. Because one of our, obviously, we've got our four vision things, companions, rest, direction, and nourishment. And rest, the initial kind of concept of that, of what we felt like God was saying, was the whole thing about the presence of God, that ultimately you find rest in the presence of God, and we want to be people who are pushing in to the presence of God wherever we are all the time. And, you know, I was just in God speaking to me this week about this whole thing of rest, just thinking, oh, it's funny, because sometimes God talks to you about something and says, that's what I want you to be about as a community. And then as time goes on, you get a greater revelation of actually what that is all about. And just in getting to grips with some of the rest that the Bible talks to us of. You know, something that the Lord wants us to push into. So, I just want us to ask the Holy Spirit just to show us if there are heavy yokes that we've got on us, that we've taken on, which are not the yoke of Jesus. Heavy burdens that we're carrying, which are not the burden that Jesus gives us, which is light and easy. And if we're not actually pushing into the rest, if we're not going to Jesus, just asking the Holy Spirit to show us. And just like, you know, maybe there are areas of our lives where we've got caught up in legalism, we're striving because we're they're coming out of a good place because we're desperate to go for God, we're desperate to be more like Him, but we're actually putting stuff on us, which is not what the Lord has put on us, because His yoke is easy. And I just want us to ask the Holy Spirit to show us that, and just so that we can just let Him come and lift it off us and let Him to put His yoke on us, which is easy and light. So I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to read these verses from the Amplified Bible and from the Message, and just want us to meditate and just listen to what the Lord is saying. So, yeah, Holy Spirit, we just invite you just to come right now, and thank you, Lord, that you invite us to enter your rest, and your rest is about taking on your yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light. It's about coming to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would just come and reveal to us, give us revelation of what that means, and also give us revelation of what that means to us as individuals. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you just come and reveal to us where there are heavy yokes that we've put on ourselves, and heavy burdens that we're carrying. And yeah, Lord, we just ask that you would reveal that to us, and you just help us just to let you take them off, and that we'd take on your yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to have real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I just feel like there's some people here that a heavy burden, the yoke that you are under is all to do with outward appearances, just like the Pharisees were concerned with outward appearances but not so worried about their hearts, and that just like the Holy Spirit is just showing you that you don't have to please other people, you don't have to be seen to be doing all these things. You just need to come to God and let Him change you from the inside out. And that there's some things that you're just so determined that you have to do, and when you don't do them, you just feel so bad. But the Lord's saying, no, just come to me and find rest. Also, maybe there's someone as well who, just like the Israelites, they experienced rest, which was that they defeated their enemies and they took the land, and it was kind of rest from their enemies. And maybe there's someone here who you just feel like, I don't know whether it's a specific enemy, as in a human person, or whether it's just you feel like the devil is just on your case all the time, and you just feel trapped in a cage almost. And just the Lord saying, I can give you rest as you come to me.